So let's go to Hebrews. There's another thing here. Hebrews chapter 2. Here's another unique occurrence of a description of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10. For it became him, God, that him refers to God, for whom all things and by all things, let me read what's written here. For whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Again, now here's a unique reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, captain of salvation. And there's some translations that will say author. And I don't know, I think captain is a better translation, because author, that would have been God. God's the one that wrote or came up or invented, created, whatever the word is, our salvation. But Jesus Christ was the captain. What does the captain do? Like in a ship. Captain steers the direction. He's the one that's... It's like where also where Jesus refers to Jesus Christ as the head. Well, the head in biblical times, people didn't understand the head. Like now we understand the head houses the brain. And if I want to move my fingers like this, my head tells them to move. And that in biblical times, they didn't have the modern understanding we have of the neurological nervous system and how it works. So they thought of the head as the person that would be the example or the first one, or he was the second Adam who showed us the way to get Holy Spirit again. And the captain of the salvation, again, he's showing the way. Here's another one in John chapter 10 and verse 7. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, and when you see verily in the Old Testament or in the Gospels, it's like saying, of a truth. In other words, I ain't lying to you, dude. Or like in modern vernacular, they say, true dat. So Jesus said, true dat. I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. It's another way of saying, I am the way. Some translations will say, I am the gate. He's the way in. If you want to get to God, he's the way there. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep did not hear them. You know, it's interesting. Truth, I always keep saying this, but I'll keep saying it the rest of my life. Truth is simple. And there is a verse in the Bible that talks about all that seek and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. Not field, filled. I used to be able to talk. Truth is always there, available. But what happens is, it's like if you go out in my front yard right now, underneath the snow, there's our tree, our beautiful ash tree in the front yard, dumped all its leaves. And say, most of those leaves are lies, but maybe there's a leaf there that's truth. And that's how the world is not that truth is hard to understand, it's just that there's, the truth is simple, and there's not truth all over, it's there, but there's a lot of lies there to obscure your view. So it's like, well, how do we know which one's true? Well, it says here, the sheep hear my voice. Well, they did not hear them, but there's other ones where he talks about the sheep hear his voice. That's the sort of the equivalent of what it's saying here in this verse here, verse 8. People that want truth will see the difference between the truth and lies. And people that are goats, the lies will be just fine for them. But people that are sheep, now we're not literally sheep, it's a metaphor or a simile or whatever it is, but people that are want truth will find it, and it's out there, and it's simple, and it's easy to find. Yeah, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Yeah, there it is. I knew it was in here somewhere. I wasn't making this stuff up. Verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. See, the people that don't believe the truth, they think we're nuts. Not only that, it says, marvel not, the world hates you, because it hates him first. And the reason they hate Jesus is because Jesus came from God. That what it really is they hate God. So, back in verse 9, I am the door. So he's the door, he's the gate, he's the way to God. But by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go out and find pasture. And then, but there's a thief, verse 10, the thief, he comes for three reasons here. He comes to steal, he comes to kill, he comes to destroy. That's the only thing he ever does. He'll disguise it, he'll make it look like he's doing something good. Oh, let's set up this thing, this program that'll help people. Oh, 20 years later, those people are a lot worse off than they were before we put them in this program. My bad, we screwed up. Well, where'd that program come from? The thief. Somebody who wasn't listening to God, they rejected God's word, and they think, well, we can do better than that, and they didn't. They did worse. But Jesus Christ, he came for one reason only, to bring life. See, we were missing a vital component of our life before Jesus Christ came. We were missing spirit. Our body had life, the cells had life in them, we had breath life, we had soul, which we were self-aware, we know we're alive, we can think, we can decide, oh, I want chocolate chip cookie instead of peanut butter cookie, because I think it tastes better, but how do we do that? We have soul life that determines that that's what we prefer. And we can have life, have it more abundantly. We can get eternal life. Oh my God. Because this body and soul is still corrupt from Adam. Thank you, Adam. But it's, you know, we might live 60 years, we might live 100 years, maybe 120. You know, maybe they'll develop some technology where we can live 200 years old, but that, as far as they know, nobody's ever lived 1,000 years. As far as I know. Huh?
969.
Yeah, supposedly that's the longest in the Bible.
Right.
So nobody's ever lived 1,000. So these bodies aren't going to last forever, but the spirit does. Jesus Christ, the last Adam, his body and his soul are gone. He was killed on the cross. His body was starting to degrade in the grave. But yet he was raised, he has a spiritual body, and he has eternal life. And we'll have that same thing someday, too. Let's go to Ephesians. So let's tie up all the loose ends now into a nice, neat package. And we're Ephesians, let's see the fullness of what the second Adam gave us. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Now, this is Old English. Now, some people can say these hath he quickened is not in the verse because it's in italics, so some of the original text didn't have this. But hath he quickened means made alive. And you hath God made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Why? Because we were body and soul, descendants of Adam, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, like I said, we were walking around with a kick me sign, and the devil was just kicking us around and laughing at us. among whom also we all had our conversation. And that word conversation should be translated citizenship. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were on, to quote the rock band, we were on the highway to hell. And we were going full speed. That's where we were going. But God, contrast, who is rich in his mercy. Mercy means God withholds what we deserved. Because of the way we lived our life and because of our bloodline, we deserve to be the wrath it talks about in the book of Revelation. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show or exhibit the exceeding riches of his grace and in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And when you see Christ Jesus is talking about the resurrected one. The emphasis is on Christ. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves. There's nothing we could have done to make us good enough to deserve this gift of Holy Spirit we've been giving. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that in times past we were Gentiles in the flesh, and so on and so on. Verse 12, at that time we were without Christ, being aliens. See, we were not only Adam's seed, we weren't even Jews. We didn't have a chance. If we went to the temple in the Old Testament, the farthest, closest we could get would be the court of the Gentiles. You know, we had several barriers between us and God. We couldn't get to God. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's where we were. We were hopeless and helpless and hapless, and we didn't have God. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, are made, and it says here in King James, N-I-G-H, nigh. Well, it's just one of those weird things. It means near or next of kin. We're put in God's family by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, talking about Jew and Gentile, because even the Jews didn't have direct access to God. They had the high priest, which would go in and make intercession for him, but he had to do that once a year. Jesus Christ was the high priest, and he made intercession once for all time. He doesn't have to continue to make intercession for us anymore, because it's a done deal. And that broken down the middle wall partition between us, because there used to be a wall that partitioned in the temple court between the Jews and the Gentiles. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that's the sin nature of the flesh and soul of Adam. Even in the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. So there used to be Gentiles, used to be Jews, now there's neither of those categories matters anymore. What matters is born again Christian, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Verse 17, and came and preached peace to them which were far off and to them which were near, for through him we both have access. See, here's the key. This is the whole purpose. God sent the second Adam. That we would have access, direct access. We no longer have to go to a high priest. You don't get access to God through me. You don't go to your church and get access through your clergy. You don't even have to go through Jesus anymore. You have direct access to God. You know, some people want to pray to Jesus. Well, why would you pray to Jesus when you have direct access to Jesus Christ's Father? That's what Jesus Christ, and nobody prays to the first Adam. Oh, Adam, who art in heaven. No, nobody prays that way. I mean, it's stupid. Well, why would you pray to the second Adam? That's stupid. I mean, Jesus Christ was an amazing man. I mean, he lived almost 1,000 years, and he was an amazing person. The second Adam was even greater because he gave us what the first Adam lost. But the whole goal wasn't that we would have fellowship with the first or the second Adam. The whole goal was having direct access to the Father. That's what it's saying here in verse 18. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building is fitly framed together and grows unto a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. See, God lives in us. We not only have direct access to him, he's inside us. I mean, that's why you have direct access. You don't have to go anywhere. Wherever you go, God is. You wake up in the morning, God's there. You go in some dark, evil place in this world, God's there because he's in you. And so anyway, that's what I wanted to share this morning. So Heavenly Father, thank you for fellowship today. Thank you for your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he was the last Adam. And thank you for your great love, wherewith you loved us, and how you redeemed us from out of what was the muck and mire we were in and set us on high. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.